Good night, GSM all participants. So today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you. All right, well, I thought we'd just start by everyone introducing themselves. I'll start. My name is David Cake. I'm the interim chair, in that I am... was not elected by the constituency as chair, but only stepped in when Konstantinos had to step down. So one of the executive committee had to step up. And this will be my last meeting as chair of NCUC. For the moment, anyway. Who knows what the future might hold. But I would like to everyone else to introduce themselves. Could we start with, probably to start at the end there and go round?
I am Roy Balleste, professor and library director at St. Thomas University, Miami, Florida.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Walusungu Gondre. I come from Malawi. I work for the University of Malawi as a systems engineer slash lecturer. Yeah. So.
Bonjour, my name is Manik Chartrand. I'm from Communautique, Montreal, Quebec. It's a community group that works on open innovation with users.
My name is Rafik Damak. I am GNSO Council, but this meeting will be my last term. And I am also in the executive committee for the non-commercial stakeholder group.
And also our representative on NOMCOM, nominating committee.
Yes, starting on Thursday.
My name is Robin Gross, and I'm with IP Justice in San Francisco, and I am also the chair of the non-commercial stakeholder group. Thank you.
Wendy Seltzer, I'm one of the non-commercial stakeholders representatives on the GNSO Council, and outside of ICANN, I work with the World Wide Web Consortium and the Chilling Effects Clearinghouse.
I already introduced myself, but I'll fill in some more details. I'm also the chairman of Electronic Frontiers Australia, and... I'm also I will be one of our GNSO councillors as of Wednesday.
I'm Wilson Abigaba from Uganda. I'm the technical manager at the .UGCCTL registrar, but I'm also the vice president of the ISOC Uganda chapter, and I belong to GNSO NSCSG.
Hi, I'm Brendan Kerbis. I'm with the Citizen Lab at University of Toronto and also Syracuse University, and I am on the NCUC Executive Committee.
My name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I'm with the University of Aarhus in Denmark, and I'm also a counselor for the NCUC in the GNSO Council.
Hello, I'm Milton Mueller. I'm a professor at Syracuse University and one of the principals of the Internet Governance Project.
Hi, good morning. My name is Flavio Wagner. I'm professor for computer science at the University of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil and also a member of the board of the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee.
Okay, well, that's everyone in the room. Thank you all for introducing themselves. Do we have anyone online currently?
David, we have two people online. I'm still sorting out the audio issues, but Amir and Julia Charvolin are online.
Great. Okay, so that's the introductions done. Does anyone have anything they wish to add to the agenda? I'll just briefly go through the agenda. We're going to start with... we were going to start with talking about the charter and the elections. Bill has requested that we delay that until he gets here. So we'll start. We also have outreach. discussion of outreach strategies and our planned intersessional meeting. We're also planning for the Beijing meeting. I want to talk about how we now have constituency travel allocations. Want to very briefly talk about that. We will have a meeting with the NOMCOM chairs. That's the previous chair, and chair-elect want to meet with us. They want to discuss specifically what sort of people we think should be selected for NOMCOM. Any advice on we can give them about selection? Actually, NOMCOM, we might also want to talk a bit about how we feel NOMCOM is going, give them some feedback. We'd hoped to meet with Sally Costerton. I haven't heard back from her. We may yet, but we probably won't. Strategic planning and a draft. Then we're going to talk about strategic planning for the constituency. Rafiq and Bill, in particular, have put together a draft strategic plan for the constituency. And we have some policy issues to discuss. In particular, the risen from the dead global protected marks list, now called HARM, high at risk marks. If there's anything we need to talk to about the RAA, though, we probably covered that in the policy meeting. Any other policy issues anyone wants to discuss? With the policy issues, I want to make it clear the detailed policy discussion was held in the policy meeting earlier in the week. We also will be discussing some of these issues in NCSG. So rather than discuss them at length again, specifically we want to go through, is there any action we want to make as a constituency on these issues that we need to discuss? So we're talking about, rather than going through the policy issues in great detail, we will be looking at what we can actually do as a constituency on these issues. Right. That's the talking about the agenda. A couple of people wandered in. Could you just introduce yourself to the room?
Carlos Afonso from Instituto NOPEF and CGIBR in Brazil.
Marcelo Fernandes from CGIBR.
Thank you. Okay, well, discussion about outreach. I said Bill has requested that we hold off charter and elections for the moment. So we'll move on to discussion of particularly, I think we'll move on to discussion of outreach strategies. What can we do to improve the, get more people into NCUC basically, particularly to highlight why NC, how we differentiate ourselves from our fellow constituency in the stakeholder group, and what we're going to do to get more people involved. Does anyone want to speak to that issue? Wendy?
That ties. Seeing our Brazilian colleagues, I first wanted to thank you very much for your support of our conference on Friday. I think that's an important way that we can do outreach to the broader community, both those who are already participating in ICANN and those outside of ICANN who see that we are focusing on substantive issues, putting together a program that really gets into questions of the policy debate that happens at ICANN, and then as we create a record from that, that's something that people can refer to and see an opportunity to participate in the process. So I like the idea that I've heard in discussion a bit that we might make that a recurring event so that people come to expect that an ICANN meeting will start with an NCUC conference to introduce hot topics and themes for the meeting to come.
I totally agree with you that we should have this event regularly. Would be great. And thank you, but we feel it's our obligation to support initiatives like that.
I can also only support what Wendy has said. I arrived late on Friday, so I could not join the meeting, but the feedback I got from various sources was overwhelming enthusiastic, thought it was a big thing, and also the new CEO enjoyed it very much being there. And so far, the whole ICANN has no strategy, you know, how to link its meeting to the local community. So it means in previous years, when Windsurf was still the chair, Wind always was invited to go to the university and to give a lecture there. But this was the only outreach strategy the ICANN had. So it's like a container flying around the globe, landing, going away, with no effect on the ground. So, but to have such a symposium at the beginning of each ICANN meeting is a great opportunity to do outreach to the local community, and this would also strengthen the profile of our own constituency and would enable us, you know, to pull other members of other constituencies in ICANN into our process, so that we do not knock at the door and ask whether we can come in, but, you know, we pull them into the process. You know, we more or less we would define the agenda and say, you know, what is needed to discuss. And in so far, my practical proposal is that we establish here a small committee which would start immediately to begin planning for Beijing and Durban. These are the two next conferences, and it's always good to have a local co-sponsor or co-organizer. And I think it would be certainly not a problem, with, after all the discussions I had the last 2 days, to find a strong Chinese partner and to find a strong partner in South Africa. So I think this, but it, you need a small committee so that the work, has to be started early. Robin had, you know, a lot of work, and at the end of the day it become very close, so that means and we can avoid this by starting early. Thank you.
Yeah, I was also saying that regarding education about this constituency, in the fellowship meetings, many constituencies go and talk about their constituencies, and actually that's when many people attend the fellowship meetings get to know about them and join them. But for this one, I think there is limited. It's not advertised that much, or people like the fellows are not sensitized that much about it. So even, but not about the fellowship meetings, but even maybe in other places, people don't know about what actually this constituency is and why they should be here.
I think there's, yeah, we seem to have general agreement that the NCUC policy conferences the day before have done an excellent job, and of course many thanks to Robin, who did the lion's share of the organising on that and did an excellent job. The question that has been, I've heard brought up in the last couple of days, is do we want to do it? We've in the past been, I guess it's been about once a year, and some people have been saying we should try to be doing it every meeting. So I'd just like to get a feel for the room. Do we want to do we feel that doing it every meeting, or at least most meetings, is achievable, practical and desirable, or do we want to keep going as we are for now? Who thinks that we should be doing it every meeting from now on, essentially? Just get a bit of a show of hands there. Who thinks we should aim to do it every meeting if we can? Who thinks we should stick with once a year or so? All right, so we all seem to think it's a good idea to aim for every meeting, which means that we are going to try and do something for Beijing. Is that the sense of the room? Who thinks we should be trying to do something for Beijing?
Yeah, as I was telling Wolfgang, there among the academics, which is really where we need to focus in China, because there isn't really there is no autonomous civil society in China. Let's put it that bluntly. But there are academics who do research about
communication policy, media policy, and internet. And in my interactions with them, I've heard them all tell me that, you know, please come to China and explain what's going on with this. We would love to hear about it. And so the Beijing case, I think, is one we just have to do, regardless of whether we do them for every meeting. And I think the hallmark of our policy conferences has been that we have given careful thought to the key issues that are really salient to our constituency and to internet governance as a whole. So one thing to be careful of in getting more institutionalized is that we don't start diluting the program and turning it into these kinds of things that the normal ICANN meeting does, where you have people on a panel because they want to be on the panel and not because they have something really to say. And you make all these political appointments onto these panels and have all kinds of people represented simply because, oh, we've got to have an ALAC person or we've got to have this person. Now, obviously, there's some kind of calculations like that that have to go on, but to get different points of view, but I think the reason people like our conferences is precisely because they are substantive, so we really have to make sure they stay substantive.
Rafiq?
Okay. So if I understand correctly, we think outreach through the event, which is linked to the ICANN meetings, but we need to think between ICANN meetings how we can outreach, how our existing member can do this in their locally, in their community, and to bring more people. And also, what kind of message we can use to explain to prospective member why they should join NCUC. So it's not just about outreach, but also then about the engagement of our existing members. So outreach and in reach, and also to think what kind of message, how we can explain why you should join NCUC. We have a new here people observing what we are doing. So how we can convince them to join us?
Yep, well said. Just before we move to the next person in the queue, Maria, can I just get you to introduce yourself to the room?
Hi, sorry for being a bit late. My name is Maria Farrell, and I am NCUC member. I am with the Open on the Board of Directors of the Open Rights Group in the UK, and I am an incoming GNSO Council member as of Wednesday for the Europe region.
Next is Carlos.
I think that you are right in thinking that we probably should think of this event regularly, but once a year, for at least one very practical reason: the funding. And the other thing is that our volunteer staff goes crazy, in the few months before the event to organize it and so on, and thinking that they had to do this three times a year would be really hard. But I think that Beijing would be a good possibility. Regarding CGI.br, we have a full 6 months to discuss it, so I think it would be viable.
Wendy?
Thanks. Yes, plus one to Carlos and Milton on the challenge, the problems that we would encounter institutionalizing too much. That I think what's been great about these conferences so far is that they've been sort of adaptive to the issues and the situations. They do take a lot of work and a lot of energy. I didn't raise my hand in either camp, I think I would fall toward the once a year for a conference. Let's think about other things that we can do similarly to harness that energy at different times of year. And I'm particularly interested to see what we can do with the video and other things that we've captured out of this conference to use to continue the discussion, because I think what we do quite well, and often in distinction to some of the other groups claiming a non-commercial banner, is that we organize around issues. And so we can point to our discussions as reasons to get involved. If you care about the law enforcement or the security or the international relations concerns, come join us and help move that discussion forward.
Thank you, Wendy. Brendan?
Thanks, David. So, yeah, just picking up on Milton's comments and Wendy's comments, I completely agree that a lot of the panels at ICANN meetings are driven by kind of political agendas, but I think, yeah, we gain a lot of value by framing our panels and our events as having a diversity of opinions and interests on each of the panels. I think that really strengthens our conference and makes it so appealing to such a wide variety of people. So maybe if we frame it that way. And then kind of following up on that, I just wanted to note I did have a discussion with Dave Piscatello at ICANN, and he who actually reached out to law enforcement trying to get some people for our panel, but it was too late in the day to get anyone here. However, he did say that if we contact him with a little more time, they would definitely support bringing law enforcement. He mentioned that they often have tight budgets, but he said that they would be willing to support and fund, an additional overnight stay to bring someone in early. So that's would be helpful, obviously. Thanks.
Rafiq?
So responding to the comment from Carlos, I think maybe we don't need an event for every ICANN meeting, but for next year we need for Beijing and in South Africa, because the two first events were held in North America. So we need really to do event in developing country. That's really different, and we can bring more people and we can cover different topics.
Robin?
Thank you. Yeah, I actually want to support what Rafiq just said about wanting to do this in developing countries, and it was great our first couple of times for doing it in the U.S. and Canada, but yeah, let's really take the show on the road and go into developing countries and outreach to those people. And I really appreciate all the support and thanks that I've heard this morning, but really this was a team effort. It was Brendan and Milton and Rafiq and the Brazilians, and really everyone in here played a part in putting that together, so it really was a team effort. And I agree with Wolfgang that what we should do is set up a committee to just sort of keep the work going. We don't stop now. We just keep going and preparing for Beijing. And frankly, I don't think we have to decide right now if we want to do this every meeting or once a year. I don't think we need to decide that. I think at this point, let's do it in Beijing and see how that goes and figure out what we can do in Durban as well. Maybe something a little bit different. Maybe something at the next meeting. I don't know. But I don't think we have to decide that quite that level at this point. And I think we're going to get more support from ICANN for these events going forward. One of the problems, the biggest problem that we had in terms of planning this one, and it was a learning experience, was that the ICANN budget gets approved at the end of June, and our budget request was in there, and so we only had just 3 months or so from the time the request got approved to actually implementing that, actually putting on the conference. And so, the board voted on it in the end of June, but staff didn't wrap their minds around it until about 4 weeks ago. And, so it took a long time getting commitments from staff to on the venue and on the date and all of these sort of details. And a lot of that had to do with, frankly, just the timing, because it all happened so fast, but we're talking about now something that's 6 months away. We can start planning now. And Glenn de Saint-Cherie came up to me after our meeting and said, asked if we were going to do it in Beijing again, because she'd heard good things about it. And I said, I don't know, Beijing or Durban, but one or the other. And she said to let her know this week which day, because they will block off the room and on that particular date and give it to us now, so we can begin to prepare and plan now for that. So I think we can get more support from ICANN. We've sort of shown them that we can put on a good event that brings in more participants and helps strengthen the multi-stakeholder model, which is frankly what ICANN wants as well. So we can work with them on a more partnership basis with that. The one issue I wanted to raise, and maybe we could talk a little bit about, is do we want to continue to do it on the Friday before? You know, a lot of people will say, well, then we have to take some time off during the previous week in order to get there on Friday, and then we're taking time off on two different weeks, and it's harder to do that. Maybe you want to do it the Friday after the meeting ends, where they used to have the board meeting. That's a possibility as well, because then people won't have to take off time from two work weeks. But the downfall to that possibility is everyone's brain is fried by the end of the ICANN week, and you know they want to go sightseeing on Friday. They don't want to stick around for another policy conference. So, you know, I just wanted to raise the issue of maybe we should think about or at least explore a little bit further what's the right timing for that to hold that conference. So, thank you.
Thank you, Robin. First, I'd like to, just before Wolfgang speaks, I'd like to ask those who have entered the room since to just introduce yourself to the room, so starting with Magali.
My name is Magali Pazella. I'm from Brazil. I just was elected to the GNSO Council as an NCSG representative, and I don't know what more to introduce myself. I think it's good. Okay.
I'm with USIgnite.org. Okay. Wolfgang, and then I'll put myself in the queue after Wolfgang.
I think there is indeed a window of opportunity for such an event, because when Fuzzy said it's a new season now, and if you go through the various points he has raised in his opening speech, then this fits nearly ideally into you know, his strategy. And so far we should use the opportunity that Sally will come later, and just, you know, to confront her with our proposal and to say, okay, this will be an independent NCUC event, but it will be linked to ICANN. And we need the support from ICANN. So that means if it's what Robin has said in the program and in the budget, then it's much more easier, because then you have not to deal with all these difficult issues to find a venue and, you know, to get coffee or all this, so because you can then use the existing infrastructure. And this is a little bit similar what we are doing with GigaNet at the IGF. So I think the beauty of the constellation is that a GigaNet meeting is on the eve of the IGF, so it does not conflict with the main sessions in the IGF, but it uses the infrastructure. And it was done from the very early IGF, in essence, that we said, okay, we will get the room and all the other infrastructure, let's say, for nothing. It's part of the package. It was with the help of Markus Kummer, and it's now a tradition. Nobody can pull back. But it's independent. So that means neither the MAC nor another institution did influence the content of the GigaNet meetings, and we have now the seventh GigaNet meeting in Baku. And probably, you know, our NCUC workshop could become something like the GigaNet meeting on the eve of the IGF. And so far, I would also agree with Robin to have it on the Friday after the ICANN meeting. This is a bad idea, because everybody is tired. But to have it as an opening, you get a lot of attraction, because people want to get orientation what's going on at this meeting. And in so far, I think the Friday is a very good day. And I have an additional comment to Rafik, because he said we cannot concentrate our outreach activities only on this event. And I also agree, and I think it's certainly the responsibility of all NCUC members to do their homework in their local environment and to, you know, probably to bring also new members. But another opportunity so far missed is that we use other conferences, because, you know, this group of people is going to many other meetings, and just, you know, to let's think about how we can make use of, for instance, the IGF or regional IGFs or national IGFs, you know, to introduce NCUC as a unit, you know, to make it known, and to use these events to look for additional supporters, friends, and colleagues.
Thank you. I'd just like to say myself, I think, I mean, it's clear that we don't need to do it. It's true we don't need to decide whether we're going to do it on an ongoing basis at the moment. We definitely do need to decide whether or not we're going to do it for Beijing quite soon, in that we want it to appear on the schedule, and we want staff to know that it's coming a long time in advance. And as Robin says, we can expect to have a fair bit of ICANN support if we do that, if we let them know well ahead of time what's going on. So I would like us to essentially decide at this meeting, at least, if we're going to, you know, at least to get a committee together, people who are going to work on that. And I agree with Robin that Friday is perhaps not the best. And I've started, actually, I mean, ICANN events have started leaking into the Friday already. And I expect that will, I mean, I had a Friday meeting in Prague. And I expect that will happen a little bit more. I think we're all finding this meeting, it was just a bit too packed. So I would not be surprised for ICANN to start, you know, more meetings to start popping up on Friday. Glenn?
Yes, everything is creeping earlier. Have you noticed that, you know, the Friday board meeting moved to Thursday, so, you know, moving everything back in the week for some reason. I don't quite understand all of that myself. Beijing is an interesting opportunity because we might do something in conjunction with CONAC, which I believe is the non-profit, non-commercial organization supporting the internet in China. So maybe something that was co-organized, if I'm correct about that, would be useful.
I'd like to finish up on this topic pretty quickly, so I'm just going to call for last comments from anyone. Brendan.
Three quick things. First, Tobias Mahler has joined us. He's a postdoc at the Faculty of Law, University of Oslo. And then quickly about a policy conference. I agree that it would be better to have it at the beginning of ICANN. I think having it at the end is not a good idea. And then I would think maybe we could defer some of this conversation to our to our later conversations about the charter, because of maybe we might want to think about a functional role, a conference chair role that would be in NCUC, or perhaps even a standing committee that would, if depending on how frequently we organize these events.
Thanks. Do we have any other final comments on this item? Okay. So I think the sense of the meeting is that we are very keen to have a event in Beijing. All we need to ask now is who is going to organise that? I'm sure that, I mean, the exec committee can discuss that, but I would like any volunteers. Milton. Milton is volunteering. Bill is volunteering. Wolfgang, Brendan, Maria, Robin, Rafiq, Wilson. We have everybody. All right. Thank you. Thank you all for those volunteering.
I volunteered first.
Yes. Milton was, let it be noted for the record that Milton volunteered first. We'll also put that out to the general NCSG discussion list, I think. Okay, first, before we move on to the next topic, could those who just entered the room briefly introduce themselves to the meeting? So, Avery and Bill.
Hi, I'm Avery Doria. I'm a member of NCUC, among other things.
I'm Bill Drake. I'm a member of NCUC. I'm a GNSO counselor on his last legs, retiring on Wednesday. And I am, I guess, running for chair of NCUC now as well. I see.
Yes. Thank you, Bill.
I haven't presented myself yet. I'm Francisco Vera from Chile, from NGO Derechos Digitales. It's my first time in an ICANN meeting. I'm still not part of any constituency or group, so I'm seeing and looking for maybe integrate to the non-commercial users constituency or the stakeholders group. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll move it then. Move back in the agenda, actually, to the charter and elections issue, which Bill wanted delayed until he was here, so ready to go. Who would like to speak to that? Bill.
Well, okay, I haven't even turned on my computer yet, but I can try. Charter and elections. Okay, so number one about the charter. There have been various efforts to tweak the charter of NCUC. We last approved a version, I guess, what, about 2 years ago when the restructuring happened. I can't remember precisely when it was, to try to achieve some basic alignment between the NCUC charter and the charter of the stakeholder group within which we are now located. And so I think some of those basic points were addressed. But then looking at the charter again, a number of us recognized the need for further tweaks in that direction. And also then, once we got into it, began to notice a lot of other things about the charter. The charter, as it's currently written, anticipates activities and positions and so on that really have not actually existed within the COC in any meaningful way, and which I think it would be arguably logical to rethink and perhaps remove. So there's, in particular, we have currently in our charter language saying that there is a policy committee for NCUC, but the policy committee has never really functioned all that much. Policy agreement on policy issues have tended to take place more informally in dialogues between members of the executive committee and the elected officials in the GNSO Council and so on, and then later with members on the open member list. And so we haven't really had the same kind of formalized structure. And given that there's always a problem for us in having enough live bodies who are willing to actually commit energies to performing tasks, it's not obvious that having this additional layer of bureaucracy necessarily would serve a purpose. So one concept is to simply delete all this stuff about the policy committee and instead perhaps have a policy coordinator or two. And this ties to a second structural point that I've been proposing. In the last couple of meetings of NCUC in Prague and San Jose, we talked about the fact that NCUC, unlike a lot of other advocacy organizations and networks that many of us are affiliated with, has in the past composed its executive committee on the basis of regional representation rather than functions that have to be performed. So if you look at a lot of other bodies, including I used to be president of an NGO called Computer Professionals for Social Responsibility, the logical kind of inner circle that was going to take the lead responsibility for making sure things continue to happen was comprised of people who had functionally defined jobs, like somebody who was in charge of outreach, somebody who was in charge of member relations, somebody who was in charge of communications and maintaining the website, these types of functions, rather than purely regional functions. Now, I think personally it would be good to evolve towards a structure where such people were by charter included in the group of elected officials, and people actually stood up and said, I would like to do that work and I will run for the position accordingly. That could be done either by adding such positions to the
to the regional positions or substituting for them for the regional positions. But that's a longer-term conversation, because if we want to approve this charter this time, on this election round, we've already announced an election for the existing positions we have. So we can't really change anything like that now. So I guess the logical thing would be then that we try to solicit regional candidates who would nevertheless be willing to take on a kind of informal basis a portfolio of some activity. And I think this goes to the larger point that we discussed here before, which is that there's a really pressing need to have a more activist executive committee. We need to have a group, a team, that will divide up the work. The one thing that happens at NCUC, like in many advocacy bodies where everybody's volunteer and stretched thin for time, is that unfortunately people fade in and out in terms of their level of engagement, and you end up with very few people having to carry the burden to do everything. And when that happens, inevitably balls get dropped, work doesn't progress as much, and the net effect can be that we tread water more than actually advancing. And that doesn't seem to me a very good position to be in now that ICANN is going through this fundamental change. I mean, the next few years are going to be a period of very rapid change structurally in the GNSO Council and in all of the activities that ICANN's involved in and all the things that we're going to need to be able to respond to. So I think we need to try to reposition ourselves with a stronger, more active team that's capable of taking some of these things by the bit and carrying forward work and soliciting the engagement of further participants as we go along. So the idea then would be to try to do that. So we will run the charter election. We'll run the election as is with the existing announced slots, but we will also circulate a draft charter that makes clear that, number one, we hope that the candidates will take on a little bit more responsibility and maybe do 2 hours a week of work, and number two, that some of that work would be on these kinds of functional tasks. And I'll just conclude by saying I was just looking at the email this morning on the list, somebody who had replied, Ed Morris, who had replied to my nomination. And he had pointed out that he tried to get a number of new people to join NCUC via the website and just couldn't make it work. That they're at, you know, that the forums didn't get, you know, didn't work, and the names went into a black hole, and nobody responded. These are basic things we can't have happening. So somebody needs to be on top of maintaining the web resources in a fully functional way. Robin looks puzzled. It may seem obvious to you how it works, but if others are having trouble working it, that means we need to play with it. So the point is, let's try and use this as an opportunity, given all the challenges we face, to really refresh and maybe try and step up a level our engagement.
Thank you very much, Bill. Queue is Avery, then Robin, and then I'll put myself in the queue after Robin.
Thanks. I almost forgot what I was going to say. I wanted to actually make one, with great apologies, one modification on what Bill said, which is that while the charter was updated to make it coincide with the NCSG charter a little over a year ago, that charter was never voted on. That change was never followed through on. So when you get around to having a vote on this charter someday, it will also include all the changes that were made to make it coincide with the NCSG charter. The other thing I wanted to question about was, why do we still have an NCUC membership sign up? Because unless somebody's already an NCSG member, they shouldn't be signing up for the NCUC, and the NCSG sign up thingy includes and I'm interested in the NCUC. So I'm not sure why NCUC even still has a membership page of its own. Thanks.
Robin.
Thank you. Yeah, no, Bill, I'm sorry if I looked puzzled. I wasn't disagreeing with you. I actually wanted to agree with what you were saying about the need to really distribute the workload and particularly a lot of the administrative stuff, you know, getting things on websites, putting things on mailing lists, organizing agendas and calls, and really just the grunt work. We need a lot of help from executive committee members on that, and I think that, you know, we can't just rely on somebody who's, you know, are you available now, can you do this? We need it to be part of their responsibility that they understand when they're signing up for a particular role. That means you're going to be doing these particular administrative things, and when they don't get done, we're going to come to you with pitchforks in our hands. So I'm teasing. That was really it. Okay, thank you. No, actually, I did want to talk about this membership issue as well. I have to agree with Avery. I think we've got a lot of confusion about how do I join the stakeholder group, constituency, and I think part of the confusion is people are trying to join through NCUC or through NPOC and then work their way up to NCSG, but that's backwards. There really shouldn't be a separate NCUC membership form on the NCUC page for the starting process of joining. You have to start by joining the stakeholder group, and then once you join the stakeholder group, then you join a constituency. So this is something actually that I wanted to go over in the NCSG meeting, because we've got a lot of NPOCs just accepting members from anywhere, and then they apply for NCSG membership, and some of them may or may not be eligible. And so this is, doing it that way is broken, it's wrong. We've got to send them to the NCSG form, which does work. Start there. The NCSG Executive Committee will review that application. When it gets approved, it goes to the constituency for admission into the constituency. That's the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. Yep, Bill. You can,
just to modify slightly one thing, though. Lest anyone believe that what's being proposed is purely dull, bureaucratic, administrative work, this is not necessarily so either. I mean, what we would want to do is have people who are able to engage in the substantive things, right? Like participate, we want to be able to have an executive committee that can reach out and engage people who want to get involved in working groups in the GNSO, who want to write public comments on particular topics and so on. So it's both the sort of the basic institutional things we need to do to hold ourselves together and be functional, but it's then also leveraging that to become more active on the substantive points, and people who might choose to get engaged needn't necessarily, depends on what portfolio they take on, needn't necessarily find themselves managing like the list of members or something fun like that. There are other things to do too. That's all I just want to point out.
Okay. So I said I'd speak next. So I want to first say, Avery was really only asked to update the charter in order to unify it with the needs of the NCSG. So that was, thank you very much to Avery for doing that work, which is right. It hasn't been ratified. We need to do that. But we all, Bill has certainly opened up the. I think it's a good idea to open up the substantive changes that we're talking about. I definitely agree with Bill that an activist executive committee is very important, and that the current regional model doesn't seem to have a good reliability on producing an exec committee full of activists. We generally get some, and some that are quite people that are relatively inactive. I do want to add to Bill, though, while this election we have to go with the existing charter, the exec committee can simply appoint people to a role. It doesn't need to be recognised in the charter to be valid and useful. So we could trial some of these positions. I don't think we should. If we trial them, as I said, that would mean we'd have to do a future charter revision down the track. We probably don't want to do that. But we can certainly, if there's a position we're not sure whether or not we want it in the charter, we can simply vote on it as an exec committee, appoint someone to do it, and it simply won't be recognised in the charter. But you can still, you don't need to be recognised in the charter to do valid, useful work. So let's actually suggest some of those roles if this time around.
David, may I say something here on this?
Yes, Robin.
And let's ask someone who would like to manage the website. You know, we've got a lot of people, we've got a lot of volunteers, folks who are pretty handy with the internet. Maybe we've got someone who will take it upon themselves to keep the website updated, to make sure things get posted to the website, so it doesn't all have to fall upon the chair to then go and find someone to do it or do it themselves. Let's try to find a volunteer who's responsible for just the website and keeping the website up to date.
Robin, this is Bill. I believe we have someone, because Ed Morris volunteered in Prague to do precisely that and sent a long message saying these are things we need to work on, and I had agreed to do it, and blah, blah, blah. So I think he's willing. I don't put words in his mouth. But
hello. Look.
Hello? Online?
David, it's Edward Morris. How are you?
Hey, hello, Ed. Great to have you here.
Yeah, no, I am willing to take on the role. I may need some help from Brendan with the technical aspects, but yeah, I think it's something we need to do. I also think we need to take a little bit of a look at our social media policy, particularly if we're trying to encourage younger people to join the constituency, because that's what they use. The concept of mailing list is more or less the Minitel experience for our generation. So I think this entire area is something we need to look at. But yeah, I am willing to volunteer and be enthusiastic about helping out in that area.
Thank you.
Yeah, regarding the website, as this is being still being discussed, whether it be in the chat, I can volunteer to take on that role for the communications, including the website.
Thank you again. Thank you very much. Do we have any further? Does anyone else want to speak about the charter discussion? It's in particular. I think Bill, you've said you're suggesting some fairly substantive changes. So I guess we'll have to go through a drafting process there.
I can share the. I mean, I just did the other night. I played around with it for a couple hours. I could share the link. It's on a Google Drive. And anybody who wants to look at where it is now is certainly welcome to do so. But it's still it's very much a work in progress, because there are a number of changes that I think clearly have to happen. The whole section on policy committee, for example, needs to go, and so on. But anyway, in case I was not clear, David, I absolutely anticipated precisely what you were saying, that you don't have to write the positions into the executive into the committee for people to take them on.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. But we will be on a fairly tight time frame for that charter, in that we need to have an agreed upon text by the time we actually by the time we go to a ballot. Ideally, I would think by the time nominations close, but that might be a bit tight. That's got to be a priority, I think, for everybody, but particularly the exec committee, to get an agreed upon text of that charter as soon as we can. Okay, so that's resolved, I guess. Moving on.
Can I just
yep.
express a thank you to Bill for cleaning out the Eugene stables of the charter stuff and picking that up after it had been dropped? Aegean, the
it's a very polite classical way of saying some very impolite things about the existing charter. Do we have any further discussion on the charter?
Maybe I just missed. It's more of a question. Is there a time frame for the election of the charter?
Well, it needs to be in the part of the same election.
The same of which election?
The upcoming election that we're about to have.
Okay, so the election in just a couple of weeks, we're going to also be voting on this draft of the charter.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So we've got a very tight time frame for drafting that. Avery.
As the last person that cleaned out these stables, I would like to recommend that you set a final date for when the stables, in whatever shape they are in this charter, is closed for this round so that you can get it to a vote. Because having worked on this on and off, oh, for way too long to think about before I truly abandoned it, it never ends. Every time you make a set of changes, somebody comes up with a new idea for a new set of changes that would be really cool. And unless you sort of say, the end date for charter changes is, there has to be a certain amount of time for the community to review those changes, and that would seem to be the same amount of time that they would need to review candidates. You know, a charter is at least as complicated as picking between one candidate and none of the above. So I think you have to set a time for, you know, get your changes in the next day or two, you know, or whenever the end of the nomination period is, or have we already hit the end of the nomination period? And otherwise, you know, wait until next year. Spend another year, you know. And as far as any of these new roles, I mean, you're already appointing NCSG EC and NCSG PC and NCSG Financial Executive and Policy Committees and Financial Committees. You can add duties to anything. So spending a lot of time crafting new language, unless you can get it done before the end of the nomination period, seems to me like a recipe for not getting the charter through this time either.
I agree. And I think I'd even go a little bit further and say we set an earlier deadline for addition of actual new clauses and ideas, and then give us a few days to just finalize the text of what we have rather than have people still try to put in whole new ideas at the last minute.
Yep. So what are the deadlines?
It needs to be done by the time the ballot goes out as our final deadline. So, which?
Excuse me? Needs to be done by the time the ballot goes out?
Yes.
I thought people needed time to think about it and look at it. Does it need to sit and...
Well, that's our actual final deadline, but I would think we should have it done before that. Probably about... say a week before that to get final text. I think the... nor do I. I think it's mid-November. What is our final?
But the 15th to the end of October.
Sorry, it was the 15th to the end of October was the nomination period. Then there was a 15-day period, I think, before the voting, when the administrative details were being worked out with staff and so on, which somebody said we didn't really need 15 days, but whatever. And then there was voting with a decision to be announced December 1, as I remember.
So that does mean if we have it prepared at the same time as the final ballot, we do have that. It means everyone does have 2 weeks to think about it while the staff are preparing the election, which they don't really need, but it does give people time to think about it. So let's make that ballot deadline the deadline for the final charter as well.
This is Robin. So we're talking about mid-November-ish, the same date as the nomination cutoff date is the date, or the... Because I know we've got that two-week window, so I guess my question is at the beginning of that two-week window or the end of the two-week window that we'll cut this off?
Well, I think it should be it should really be the beginning of that two-week window.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're mid-November.
Mid-November,
okay.
Yeah. So it's a pretty tight deadline. We've got to work hard on this one. Anyone else on the charter? Right. Okay, well, I think we've resolved that we do want to make... There seems to be general support for some fairly substantive changes. We've got a lot of fairly tight deadline on that one and a fair bit of work to be done. I think that one is important enough we I mean, obviously the exec will need to take final responsibility, but it needs to be participation from the entire group. There being no further discussion, we'll move on to other items. Yep, Brendan?
Hi, I just wanted to interject on Mary's behalf, and she had a suggestion regarding the agenda, and that was to defer less urgent things like the travel allocation and Beijing planning discussion and insert kind of the board's questions to the stakeholder group so the NCUC has an opinion on those questions when it goes to meet with the board later.
I think that's a good suggestion. I was going to put the policy in the second half of the meeting, but I'm happy to do that now, to move on to those policy discussions if people want to. And though that was the own, and if Willie, the I mean, we've already covered outreach, Beijing planning, and well, at least we've talked about a pre Beijing meeting event, and the charter election. So really, the travel allocation is the only, and the strategic planning are the only two non-policy items left. I'm just gonna. The travel allocation one was actually going to be quite brief, so I just want to. I might just try and get that out of the way. All I really wanted to say about that is, historically, NCUC has had a very, very limited travel allocation,
like zero.
Yeah, like zero. Well, we've had our NCUC itself has had zero travel allocation, and occasion we've been able to juggle a little bit with our council allocation. Councillors' allocation, if
but that's an NCSG allocation.
Yes.
We should be clear. This is the very first meeting ever that NCUC has received travel support. Period.
Yeah, and of course NCUC on occasion has had some of its own funds to send people, but that's it. So given that we have a travel allocation, just wanted to briefly discuss how do we think. Are there any guidelines we want to reach for that allocation? We only have one, at the moment, one officer of NCUC that really, we have one chair and five EC, and we can't take all the five EC, so, because we only have three seats. So I just want to talk about how we allocate it, and what do we think is going to be a valuable use of those slots, and what, I don't want to get into a formal process, but at least some guidelines to the group for what that process is likely to be. So,
thank you. I would recommend that we reserve those NCUC 3 travel slots for NCUC members, including members of the executive committee, who are engaged in the issues that will be discussed at that meeting, who are needed at that particular meeting. So I think we need some kind of flexibility for the executive committee to sort of be able to make some decisions depending on what the particular needs are for that particular meeting. But again, I think we really need to make it clear to people, if you're going to receive NCUC travel support, that means you're going to be working on NCUC stuff all week. And that means you're required to come to the NCUC meetings and participate in the NCUC discussions and add value to the conversations. And so I think we really have to do more to sort of help people to understand that it's not just a travel slot, but it's you're coming here to work all week. So I think people need to understand that as well. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Those travel slots are for people who've been. I mean, we need to use the NCUC travel slots to support NCUC. It's going to be people who are going to come and work hard on NCUC related policy and other things. So, all I wanted to say is the current process that we use this time is those travel slots are allocated by the exec committee. I think it's sort of more or less understood that one of those slots will go to the chair. That leaves us with two other slots. I think we're going to stick with the exec committee. My suggestion would be that we would stick with the executive committee making that final decision. But I think the idea that we could ask the list for nomination, to express an interest, and make it very clear that they will be allocated on the basis of those who have a good, those who have significant reasons to be at the meeting in terms of work positions, like people who are very active on working groups and so on, where it would be a real advantage to be at the meeting rather than it being a way. Rather than it being a substitute for the fellowship program and that sort of thing for people who want to learn about ICANN and just get more involved, I don't think NCUC can really afford to use our resources in that manner, unfortunately. I mean, it would be great if we had enough travel slots that we could, but with only three. That was all I wanted to do on that issue, was really to clarify what the process is and how it goes. Does anyone have any comments on that? There being no comments, I'll move on. Moving on, the only other non-policy issue is the strategic planning and draft strategy. We've got 13 minutes before coffee break. Shall we carry on with the strategic planning, or do you want to move on to policy? Yep. Makes sense to discuss them, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought too. So discussing the strategic plan, Rafik and Bill have worked on the strategic plan with a little bit of input from a few others. I know at least Avery and I have had some small input and probably a few others that I've forgotten. I would like, would either Bill or Rafik like to speak to that?
Sure.
Can we send out a link to this document so we know what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Has the link to that been sent to the listener?
I'm doing it right now.
Right. Okay, so Bill is sending that to the NCSG
Adobe
list.
I don't see all of us on the Adobe here.
No.
That's where I put the other link to. So, you can't get on Adobe. Okay. Well, the Adobe is provided by ICANN, and it's on the board, and it's what remote participants are seeing, so I think it's what we should use. I'm going to okay. You can look at Rafik's. I will put it there.
Yeah. Rafik, you want to you were the person who started the document. You should speak.
The purpose was to. I'd say to assess how the NCUC have what NCUC have done in these last few years, and how we can improve our work, and to especially in term of policy. So, for example, I remember in 2009 there was a kind of report from the ICANN staff about the involvement from the different constituency and stakeholder groups and the working group, and we were in the bottom of the list. So the idea was to bring some action. We in here we talked many times how what we should do, and how we can improve our work. So it is time to have action plan. And the focus was how to improve, especially the executive committee work. And that's why it's related to the charter. And how we can let the executive committee members to be really active and to give them enough guidance to do their job and to... especially in terms of communication and policy making. For example, how we can improve the number of statement and comment made by the NCUC to the open consultation from ICANN. The idea is that the executive committee, but also councillors, to have a real leadership role, to improve that work, so to be involved as much as possible in different working group and drafting teams. Just I noticed that I am receiving many requests from people to access to the document, so I will respond to that later. So we also covered how we should improve the outreach, and especially in reach, to engage our existing members in NCUC, and so to see how we can find how we can engage them, especially depending according to the interest of our members. So if someone is interested in privacy, we can let him engage it in WHOIS issues. For other, it depends if they are interested in development, we can involve them, like in the work for support applicant and so on. Okay, maybe Bill can give Matteo. I'm sorry, just wait.
My apologies, I'm busy adding somebody to the document. Okay. Well, what we did a first round and then a revision to sort of regroup and reorganize a little more cleanly some of the points and expand on them. And basically what this document is doing now, but it could do much more, was to try to spell out in more detail precisely the types of functional responsibilities that one might hope the executive committee could have people take over. So, for example, it spells out some things like, you know, liaisoning with NPOC and recruiting with liaisons from ALAC and other ICANN groupings and NOMCOM representative, coordinate crowdsource production of regular monthly reports on GNSO meetings. Counselors can take turns and working group drafting teams and so on, and see activities. The point is, we don't report to members very much what we've got going on. And there's a very unfortunate kind of dynamic that sets in where the people who are in the core team are so busy doing the stuff they're doing that they don't find time to, like, systematically report to the rest of the community what all is going on. And with 250 members out there, it's kind of a pity not to be providing them with fuller information about our activities. So we need to, I think, regularize that. And I think for that we would need somebody who would take on a position of being sort of an in-reach coordinator, a membership coordinator, who would take the responsibility to make sure the members are consistently being passed updated information on what we're up to. Also, there's so many people talking around me that I'm finding it a little difficult. Coordinate, encourage participation in council meetings, working groups, et cetera, et cetera. Then we need, you know, somebody who would take over web platforms and electronic resources, and we listed some different dimensions of that. Finance, we need to clarify and organize a finance process for raising funds for particular to support members, but also if we're going to keep, it sounds like NCUC is going to be called upon a lot in the future to organize these conferences, which is, I think, a good role for us, actually, as ICANN meetings are not places where people get to do a lot of out-of-the-box thinking about any substantive issues. You come into all these meetings and you're immediately thrown into some horrid, you know, GNSO council meeting where they're discussing paragraph 7, 3.2, Rev 1, B's of the IRTP, Part B, something or another. And, you know, for people who have been in the process for a while, that's okay. They know what's going on. For new people, that's very hard to access. But there are other things that we can do. I mean, I think, you know, in the Division of Labor of ICANN, because this constituency has a history of having both a lot of academics and a lot of activists who are used to participating in policy-oriented conferences in other environments, we're pretty good at organizing these things.
And it's a role I think we can play that a lot of other people in the ICANN community seem very happy to have us play. And indeed, staff have come up to us after the last meeting that we just held here and said, when's the next one? You know, and what are you guys going to do? So, again, these are the kinds of things where, we have to have a list of possible go-to sources for funding, maintain contacts with them, make sure that when people indicate that they might be willing to provide support, that we follow up with them expeditiously before they lose interest, those kinds of things. So somebody who's handling the finance stuff, membership inreach and membership outreach. Outreach is something I think all of us should be doing. I think in particular executive committee members who are elected on a regional basis ought to agree. You know, I mean, can you try to draft in two people per year, two new members from your region? That would be a nice thing to start, right? Whether we want to do other kinds of outreach, things like annual workshops at the IGF or other kinds of places. So, you know, this is just the first crack at listing some of the different types of functions that might be performed.
Sorry, Bill, I just wanted to say to let people know that the document is they can access. They don't need to send me a request, so it's public now. So just they can access through the link.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments on this document? It does have a lot of, it does have some overlap with the charter discussion, but as we discussed, not all positions need to be part of the charter, which helps keep it sort of flexible. So we don't, if we decide to, stop doing something, we don't have that position hanging around. There's quite a bit in there. I think it's one of these things where it would be really useful to get comment from as many people as possible. It certainly is the case that constituencies like this, CSG have secretariat support. I think that does substantially increase their ability to contribute, and we don't, and it would be, even if we had a volunteer taking on some of the role of coordinating comment, letting people, keeping a schedule of what comment periods, what's open, what we need to contribute to, who's agreed to do it, reminding people that we need to, get a draft process rather than doing everything in emergency mode. Anyway, there's no real, I don't think we need to have any further comment on the strategic plan at this point. Yep, Rafiq?
Yeah, maybe not now, but if it's important that people comment the document so we can improve it and have a new version. So we need a lot of feedback to see what we can do in the next maybe 2 or 3 years and how we can improve, especially if we will have new roles. You talked about secretariat support, but it's not just about administrative stuff, but to have someone who can engage our members in policy issues and to enrich in regular basis. And I think Wendy, you want to speak?
I'm just noting down the queue.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Avery?
Okay. No. Oh, okay. Avery speaking. I think this looks like a wonderful thing for our newly elected NCUC executive leadership, whatever we call them, folks, to be able to take up as one of their first things. So I know this will be the second time I do this morning, but perhaps you want to set a date for when people should have done a bunch of editing, perhaps, right after the elections are scheduled to conclude, so that this can be one of the earlier things that our new leaders, such a strange word, leaders, but our new leaders can take a look at and do something about.
So I'll take that as saying you think this is a good idea, but the timeline for finalizing it should be after the election of our new leadership team.
Yeah.
Wendy?
I want to thank Rafiq and Bill for getting this document started and illustrating what I think is an important principle of the way we operate, which is that those who write text and do things can have a big voice in the way the constituency works. And that's good, and we need more people. If you have an issue that interests you and want to contribute text, we don't have a lot of formal process. We don't have a lot of formal barriers to creating new positions and new processes. So please float ideas in the form of text and proposals most effectively, and help make those into positions that NCUC can take forward. Look at the new ICANN site, or the old ICANN site, or the speeches that Fadi is giving, or the ideas around the rooms during the week, and pick something that's of concern to you as a non-commercial user, and help us to develop the strategy around it.
Do you have any further comments on the strategic plan? Robin.
Yes, I just would like to thank Rafiq and Bill for sort of taking this up. And, you know, ICANN does a strat plan every few years, and I think it's a good idea for NCUC to sort of adopt this broader, longer range thinking, and, you know, just try to tie everything that we do back to the strategic plan and remind ourselves what our goals are, what we're working on, and then we've got a benchmark to measure our success against. So thank you, Rafiq and Bill in particular.
Yes, thank you, Bill and Rafiq, very much for the substantial effort on this. Okay, we've hit official break time, so I think we will have a brief coffee break. That marks the end of the sort of most of the internal issues. We've got basically policy to talk about after the break. We'll also have a visit from NOMCOM. I think, so that's it. We'll have a break now for probably about 25 minutes now, reconvene. What? Well, okay. How long do we want to have a break for? 15? 15 minutes? Okay, 15 minutes. We'll reconvene at 10:50. And thank you, operator. We can cease recording for now. Yep. See, operator, we can stop the recording.
Yes, I do have them on musical.
We should get ready to start again if people could resume their seats. Okay, let's get started again. Okay, for one thing, there's a attendance list going around. I know most of you have already signed it, but I think some of you haven't. And could you please send that round again? And anyone who hasn't signed the attendance already, could you make sure you've signed that? If anyone... I know there are a few people in the room who haven't introduced themselves to the room, so if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. Anyone who hasn't yet introduced themselves to the room, could you briefly do so? Yes, Kathy, you have not yet.
Sorry to have missed the morning session. I'm Kathy Kleiman. Along with many other people in the room, Carlos and Milton, I'm a co-founder of NCUC, and now I'm an attorney with Fletcher, Hilden, Hildreth in Arlington, Virginia.
I don't think folks from the Red Cross up there haven't introduced yourself.
Good morning. My name is Catherine Gribben, and I'm from the Canadian Red Cross.
And I'm Chris Rassi. I'm with the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies in Geneva. And this is my first ICANN meeting.
Is there anyone else? Okay, so this there's the list Avery is holding out if you are not yet signed the list. Okay, we're moving on to policy, and the first thing on has been mentioned is our list of questions for the board to make sure that we have good answers for the questions for the board. I don't quite have that list in front of me. I'm just looking up. Yes, Robin, could you run us through those? Okay, now first, just briefly want to go over each of the questions on in the NCSG board discussion and make sure that NCUC have a position and that we preferably have someone who's willing to talk to that. Yeah. visible. Where is Brendan? Yep. The first item on that list is concerns over the RAA negotiation and board's reaction to European Data Protection Office's evaluation of proposals as unlawful. We've probably is there anyone who isn't aware of this issue? We've probably gone over this one a fair bit. Is there anything we want to discuss about? Anyone wants to bring up a point about this discussion? Rafiq, yep.
By chance, we have someone from a Chilean organization which replied to our letter about the privacy issues with the registrar accreditation agreement is here. So it can maybe help us later. That's not just the working group 29 which raises the issues about privacy and data protection.
Right, yep.
Okay.
You were referring to the... Yep, do you want to speak?
If you want to, but yeah, we do reply the letter, the need for like support of some concerns on the privacy that were contained on the registration registrar accreditation agreement, and we did some findings. I'm not sure if our findings are like the community are sharing right now on the thick and thin registrar database on that kind of stuff. What we are concerned of is on the mandatory access to the GUIS database. We think that the mandatory access is way beyond the international standards regarding data protection. The fact that anybody can access the GUIS database not only from a domain to domain basis, but also on like a terminal and terminal commands in order to retrieve bulk data. So we think that the GUIS database access should be more restricted, and when some people request access to that database, should identify themselves in order to keep track of who is obtaining this data in order to avoid the formation of a huge bulk of databases with the domain owner's information, personal information. I'm talking about not only email addresses, but only physical addresses, phone numbers. And we think that if you mandatory force every registrar to give away that information on a public basis, without any filter, you can enforce a non-lawful access to this data. Also, you can help the formation of these giant databases. You lose the control of this data. And also, you can't track. Other issue we found is that since the registrars can subcontract these databases to other database management to other parties, we think point you can lose the control of these databases and help these third parties to sell this data or to process in ways that we don't want to or the users aren't allowing to. So our concern letter is mainly have these issues. So we analyze the draft agreement that was on being discussed on that point, and we sent a letter to the ICANN board and the current CEO at that time, who was the interim CEO, and we received an answer like acknowledging the reception of the letter, but we're not sure if we make into the last report on who was sent these concern letters. I don't know, maybe it's because my organization is not at this point a member of any constituency or stakeholder group. We are outsiders to the ICANN systems right now, but that's our main concerns regarding this accreditation agreement. Not we didn't like search thoroughly on all the draft, but we did these findings, and we think that domain owners have to be protected on the international standard basis. I think the group 29 is like looking for other issues, like the data retention that some enforcement agencies are looking for in order to have 2 years of data retention on the WIS databases. We also support that we should lower this standard, because 2 years is too much. It's not on the international standards, so on data and data retention. I think it's more suitable to ask for a year of this retention, but most of all, we think we shouldn't allow any private party to collect this data indiscriminately in order to avoid the processing of this data towards ends we don't really know, and there's sensible data involved. As I said, phone numbers, private addresses, even email addresses can be processed towards ends that we don't know. Not only share, but only compromise the security of some activists, and also it generates a non-desired effect, and it's that people will go after anonymization services on the WIS database. For instance, when you register, some registrars offers anonymizing their WIS information, and since they are forced to give away